It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
Call and give us your take and then get off the phone.
Pilger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, final hour, Felger Mass, 5:04 in the evening here at 98.5 The Sports Hub, FM dial. That's where you catch us in Boston. We are simulcast throughout New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston, anytime, anywhere on the app, 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Start off with all sorts of good football stuff with Bedard. We'll re-rack one of his takes coming up here in a minute in terms of Tom Brady's role in what he thinks are some offensive struggles. Bedard isn't, he wasn't so keen on those trick plays, or when he saw the trick plays, he said, why do they have to resort to this against a bad defense? It's an interesting take. We'll revisit that. We got the Celtics stuff and everything else we've gotten to. And as I promised, right back to your phones. Mike in Danvers on the Celts. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, guys. How are you? Good show. Listen, to me, the Celtics thing is pretty simple. After watching that team last year, the way they won games last year, they ran hard, fast break, scored points, tired teams out, and that's how they won games. Same thing on defense. Gordon Hayward is what's slowing that team down. They have to adjust to him. He can't run like they did last year. So, Maz, when you say that they're not as good as they think they are as good as they think they are. They are a very good team. It's 10 games into the season, and I think they'll be fine. So I'd just like to hear your opinion on that.
Yeah, when I say they're not as good as they think they are, I don't think you can show up and play with the half-assed attitude that they're playing with and think you're going to win against good teams on the road. So, no, and when I say good teams on the road, I'm not telling you Indiana and Denver are great teams, but they're good teams. And you go into their building in that league, and you don't play hard and dig in defensively and share the ball on offense, you're going to lose. And so, this has bugged me about the Celtics all offseason, that they talk about it like they're going for their third title.
No. They beat Cleveland last year in the East Finals. Didn't you listen
Jaylen
to Jaylen Brown?
Brown?
Yeah, no. They actually won that series.
I hear that attitude and the finals are a foregone conclusion and all that. And I say, no, that's not the mindset you had last year. It's not the mindset you had the year before, regardless of what the roster was like. I don't like where they are mentally. They're acting way better than they are. They haven't accomplished anything yet. And they act like a team that has. They haven't won anything.
On Gordon Hayward specifically, more on that. Brett in Worcester. Go ahead, Brett.
Yo, what's going on, guys? Real quick, let me take off speakerphone. Sorry about that. Really, all I have to say is that Gordon Hayward doesn't belong out on the court when the Celtics are actually trying to win the game. I mean, when they went up against, who was it the other night, Milwaukee, that inbound pass at the end of the game was horrible. I just feel like the coach keeps giving him these opportunities to prove himself, and all he does is fail. He doesn't belong out there.
So the inbound pass was in Indiana, I think you're talking about. That was a horrible giveaway on that one. I think that if Gordon Hayward didn't have his contract, wasn't the star free agent signing, wasn't Brad Stevens' guy that he recruited here, didn't have the commercials, again, another fancy commercial there, wasn't all that, he'd be a bench player slowly working his way back.
Right.
And so they're playing him for the wrong reasons. I mean, Murray sort of just brushes it off. Like, I understand he's a free agent guy. You got to play him. No, you don't.
No, I hate it. But you understand why they're not going to do it.
And it's wrong.
With everything you just said, I'm with you. But they're
wrong.
Not going to. I've talked about this. Gasper and I have talked about this the last couple of Saturdays on the Celtics show. Hayward should be on the second unit right now. And Rozier plays better off the ball. And right now, if the shot's not going to drop for Hayward, he should be facilitating. He should be on the second unit. And they're not going to do it because of everything you just said. And that is 100% wrong. The marquee free agent. He's Brad's binky. Played with him at Butler. You know, he had him at Butler and all that stuff. And the ego. They don't want to bruise the ego because the guy played all of 6 minutes last year. It's dumb. If it wasn't him, like you said, if it was any other player.
If it was just Joe, basketball player, yeah, he'd be coming off the bench.
Totally.
We've got Mark in Medford on Rask and Kimbrel's agent. Yes, Mark.
How you doing, Mike? I guess apparently Torrey Crew came forward last night and said he might have got a piece of that puck.
Yes.
Well, from that far out, Tuukka Rask needs to make an adjustment and make that save. There's no excuse. I'm done with the excuses of this guy. And at the next game, he's got to go right back at the Halak attack. On the Red Sox, apparently Kimbrel's agent never heard of two guys named Hoffman and Rivera. Okay, I think he's been hanging around with Jim Murray the last week. Maybe Jim Murray's been hanging out, after hours.
Yeah,
right. Yes, Mark, I'm getting everyone high. I understand the joke.
So, I mean, the fact that Kimbrel's agent saying he's the best of all time, like, I don't really care. That's just an agent talking out, whistling out of his ass as usual. It's that I think it gives you insight into their mindset, meaning they're not promoting him as not just the best in the league, but the best ever. If they weren't trying to break the bank, they're going for every last dime, which is their right. I mean, I'm not bragging on him. I'm saying the chances of him returning with that attitude are minuscule.
Yeah, zero. Yeah. I mean, and look, honestly, I didn't think he was coming back anyway. I thought the Red Sox were going to ride that one out and then see you later and move on to the next guy. But this really, now I know why they made the qualifying offer. $17.5 million or whatever the number was. Maybe it was higher than that. Because I thought, why would they do that with Kimbrel? There's a chance he won't get an offer out there, and then he accepts it. Like, now? Well, clearly, they probably had a discussion with him at some point where they said, what would it take to bring you back here? And he said, 5 years and $100 million.
I don't get the qualifying offer now because you don't get draft pick compensation, right?
So apparently there still is compensation.
There is. It's just not as... It used to be a first-round pick, right? That sandwich pick.
So I think it's less, and honestly, I don't remember what it is under this CBA. I got to refresh my memory.
But they get a little something.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Jay on the Cape on Brad Stevens. Yes, Jay.
Yeah, I'm going along with the guys that are saying that Stevens has got the bench Hayward right now. He is sluggish. He's not mixing in well. He may not be fully healthy. But the question is, does Stevens, is he strong enough to tell Ainge that he's going to sit Hayward until he delivers?
Well, so I think it's a Stevens account more than an Ainge account, frankly. I think Ainge, well, no. I think Stevens, as he should have done, leveraged his personal relationship with the player to get him here. I mean, that's part of the reason you have him.
Sure.
Is because Hayward wants to play for his guy, Brad Stevens. So Hayward could have gone anywhere. He had all these offers, tens of millions of dollars on the table to go to different places. And he chose here because the coach said, I'm your guy. This is the best place for you. Now, if Brad Stevens turns around and benches the guy because he's slow coming back from an injury that wasn't his fault, the player looks at him and says, Brad, the reason I came here is because of you and our relationship. Now you're doing me like this? So I can see why Stevens wouldn't do it. It's just, from a human standpoint, I can see it, but it's still the wrong way to manage your team.
Yeah, this is one of those where he's got to leverage the relationship into getting a guy out of the rotation, the starting
exactly
lineup.
Exactly right.
Starting lineup.
If you're that close, you should be able to.
Right.
It's a good point.
Right. You sit down with them and say, hey, listen, here's what we're going to do. You're not right. Okay? You're not right. I know you will be, and you know you will be. But until we get there, we're going to do it a little bit differently here. Don't take it personally. I trust you. You trust me. We'll make it work. Okay, and I'm giving you the abridged version, but this is where the relationship has to take over, and you make a decision for the good of the team.
Here's Danny in Lexington. What do you got, Danny, on the Celts?
Hey, Marcus Smart is shooting 18% from the 3-point line. You think the nerds are even going to tell him to stop hucking it up or what?
No, the nerds tell him to keep shooting.
All right, thanks, guys.
Okay, I mean, isn't it obvious?
Yeah, even if they did, though, I don't know how much he'd listen.
No, the nerds tell him to keep. Why do you think Aaron Bleeping Baines and Marcus Smart continue just to chuck because they have the green light from the coach because that's what the analytics say. Keep shooting. And so they keep shooting. See, Marcus Smart is a problem in terms of the ball disappearing with him and him taking bad shots. It's just not new, right? It's like, I don't put that on our list of grievances because this thing existed last year. It existed. Yeah. This is what
his whole career
is always what he's been. Always. He guy thinks he can shoot. He has no self-awareness. So that's not a new thing. This other stuff is sort of new. The ball not moving, guys maybe putting themselves ahead of the team. Like, those are sort of new things. Marcus Smart's always played that way.
Absolutely. Yeah, look, and I'll tell you, in terms of the whole three-ball, you know, philosophy, I would love for someone to give me some sort of analysis of what they shoot in the final 5 minutes of a game versus before that.
That's a good point.
From three-point distance. Because we all know how that league works. Once you get to the final half of the fourth quarter, so call it the final 6 minutes, teams start playing more aggressively. Every possession matters. The defense matters. And I'm willing to bet that shooting percentages go down.
James in Westwood has a Red Sox thought. Hi, James.
Hey, Murray. So I love the big-time bats live read. And I know you're obligated to say the Red Sox are the best team of all time in that. But I just want to know, do you guys think that with two, in my opinion, MVP candidates, Martinez and Betts, and just Sale and everything that they have, is this the best Red Sox team of all time?
No. I mean, again, I know
it's behind 04.
Yeah, I know Shaughnessy wrote about this today in the Globe again. And to me, no. I mean, the 04 team to me is number one. And you can throw win totals at me and whatever you want. I'm going talent. Match up the rosters, particularly the Red Sox team that finished the year that year. Forget about Nomar. He was out. Okay, that 04 team would clean up on this club.
Clean up?
Yep, I think they'd beat him in 5, maybe 6. You might be able to talk me into 6. But they would clean up on these guys. Trust me. Trust me. I want someone to run the computer model.
Oh, yeah. Don't tempt them, because they will.
No, all you jackwagon nerds who have all the war stats.
Believe me.
Yeah, someone play the 04 team against the 2013 team.
Now you want to hear from these people?
No, I just want you to tell me who would win. And then when the data doesn't match up with what I say, I'm going to tell you your computer sucks.
Okay, we continue with your thoughts. We'll reset our Patriots take. Greg Bedard was sort of a blazer. You know, that game on Sunday, those trick plays that the Patriots called, I thought were well-timed, were the key to the game, and really showed the coaching advantage in that game. And, you know, was a good sign for you. Greg looked at those trick plays and said, well, why'd you have to run those? Why'd you have to resort to that against a horrible defense? Everyone scores on the Packers, yet you had to do dipsy-do. You had to do dipsy-do and toss a ball all over the yard like that, sideways between running backs and receivers and whatnot, just to score 31 on Green Bay? That's not a good sign. And is Tom Brady part of that issue? Are there offensive problems, and is Tom Brady part of it? We'll get to that and your thoughts right after this.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mattis, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
From watching this game, I'm also starting to believe that perhaps the Patriots are critical of Brady. That Brady's not where they need him to be yet. I think, I don't know how much of that is the offense and what's around him or how much that is him, but I do think he is part of the equation.
Why do you get that sense?
I don't know. It's just gone on for so long that normally in past years, they've had injuries. They've had guys come and that, and it's just, all right, we'll just drop Brady back 45 times a game and he'll get it done. He'll figure it out. But I think it's equal parts, a little bit of everything.
Is Brady not seeing the field as well as
He has not seen the field to this point this year like he has in past years. To me, there's no question about that. Now, what part of that is on Brady? What part of that is on what he's working with? You know, he's feeling pressure more than I would say he did last year. I mean, he had an MVP season last year. You know, is it all that different, the situation? I don't know. I would have to go back and compare notes, but there's no question that he's having issues. I just don't know where the blame lies on that.
All right, so there's Bedard on Brady. And the whole thing starts with his whole take on what they had to resort to on offense in that game. Let me get you what he sent to us in our email exchange this morning. He said, I'm still watching the film, but can somebody please answer me this? He says, why did the Patriots feel the need / why are they being celebrated for using deception to score all of their points? Since when are they the Hickory? Since when are they Hickory versus South Bend Central? He says they had available to them Tom Brady, Julian Edelman, James White, Josh Gordon, a former first round pick, Chris Hogan, 3-year veteran here in the system. Philip Dorsett, another first-round pick, been here his second year. And an offensive line that has largely been together for 3 years. Since when are the little sisters of the poor? Why can't that group move the ball consistently against a defense that was ranked 20th by footballoutsiders.com? And Maz, you know, looked at it further and looked at Green Bay and how they've done defensively this year. They went into Washington, gave up 31. Redskins didn't have to run any trick plays to get any of their points. San Francisco, with C.J. Beathard, walked into Green Bay 2 weeks ago and put up 30. And they didn't have to run any dipsy-doo dunkaroo in that game. They just played straight up and scored 30. And there were others. Everyone scored 30 against Green Bay. Yet, for you to get to 30, you had to do double reverses, flea flickers, all this sort of stuff. And Greg looked at that and said, that's a sign, as good as those plays were, and as well designed and well executed as they were, that's a sign that they don't think they can do it straight up. And is Brady part of that equation? So, discuss.
So, look, I'm starting to wonder, when you think about it on that double pass, you know, Brady just whips it out to Edelman and then he chucks it down to White, right? Like, I'm starting to wonder, maybe there is something there with Brady that we're not focusing on. And you made the comment earlier about how he missed time in the preseason where he didn't throw.
Yeah, we've spent a lot of time on the spring. But everyone forgets he had to miss about 7 to 10 days of throwing, or maybe, I don't know if it was that long, but it was a full week where he didn't throw, or he threw very lightly and wasn't involved in first team reps. And everyone's like, huh? And then, you know, the video came out of him shaking his arm or his back in that season ticket holder practice. And then he missed the first game and it came out that he was battling a bad back. Why? Because he wasn't there in the spring and he wasn't quite ready to go for camp. So he was sore and that put him back another week or two. So the whole thing got to a slow start.
No question, yeah. And I just wonder, I don't know, maybe there's a season-long thing with Brady or maybe something cropped up recently. And I don't want to put it all on him either. I would include... Oh,
so you think he might not be healthy right now?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe something popped up this week where, you know, he just wasn't getting as much on the ball and throwing it into windows was going to be more of a challenge. And so they said, you know what, we're going to have to help him out a little bit this week because we can't play it the way we usually do. And Bedard also mentioned while he was here that he thinks it's been now 3 weeks in a row that Edelman has been examining one of his feet.
Yeah, his left foot, he said.
Right, and Edelman's had foot problems in the past. And so if Edelman is slower coming in and out of breaks, and Gronk's banged up, and Gordon is what he is, and he's got no burst, maybe they're worried about their ability to get guys open against anybody. And so they say we're going to have to scheme this up a little bit.
Scheme it.
As you guys both know, I am a card-carrying Brady Bobo, but why does it have to be injury? Why can't it be age?
It can be.
Absolutely can be.
Sure.
I mean, that's where I go with it.
How dare you? That's what I mean. Look,
I mean, it's not... It's
go through the history of the league. The guys fall off a cliff. They get to a certain age, and boom, it happens.
Okay, but don't put that on me. I'm not telling you he's falling off a cliff. He's you know, come back, a few percentage points is as far as I'll go with it. But I put it in conjunction with he put in less work. I mean, that has to catch up. You can't put in less work at an advanced age and get the same results. That's I don't care what sort of namaste that he's dealing with. That's not physically possible. And the key to Brady's success throughout his whole career has been the work that he's put in. This year he put in less. It has to catch up. I've said that from day one, and I'm still there. And I think it has caught up. I think it is. I think the slow start to the team season is in part to the slow start to Brady's season. So that's that. They're still 6-2 on their way to 7-2, and they're going to be fine.
7-2 on the way to 8.
They're 7-2 on the way to 8-2. Is that what is?
Yeah, they're 7-2 now.
Is that where we are?
Yeah.
So either way, I mean, it hasn't reflected in the record, but I don't think he's better. I don't think the offense has been better.
I mean, look, again, just... everything is relative to everyone else, right? And the ranking is what matters.
And if the whole, right, it's relative to everyone else.
And so right now, the Patriots passing game is a little better than average. Brady ranks 13th in rating and 12th in completion percentage.
What are they ranking points scored?
Okay, I'll look it up.
I mean, they've been 1, 2, 3 forever. So I'm curious if that's fallen. But, you know, so does Brady suck? No. Is he falling off a cliff? No.
No.
I'm not going there.
And neither am I. But it, you know, it doesn't look as good as it did last year. For stretches. And remember, in December, this is kind of how he looked for most of December last year. If we're into the playoffs, it's like, oh, something going on here? Is he a little off? Like, so behind guys?
Make sure you go points per game, Maz, and not total points, because teams have played more games.
No, average scoring. The Patriots are fourth.
Fourth?
The only teams in the league that have scored more per game than the Patriots are the Chiefs, Saints, and Rams.
Wow. So they're still right there. They're still right there.
So they did have that one stretch, remember, where they got 38 like 4 weeks in a row, which pretty much coincided with the return of Edelman. See, this is one of the things I find frustrating about this last stretch or most recent stretch. When Edelman came back, the first thing I think we all said was, boy, it's amazing how different their offense looks when Edelman's on the field. Like, I felt that it was all coming back together. Now it feels like it's going the other way again. And all of a sudden, it's just not, they're not in sync. Like, it's hard to look at a play like the one they had down by the red zone the other night, where Brady throws behind Edelman. I mean, that ball was a good yard behind him. Edelman had to reach for it, and it was incomplete. It's hard to look at that play and say that they're right, because that play for them is auto-freaking-matic. That's automatic, and now it's not.
Again, someone mentioned this stat before. He had 7 straight incompletions in this game on Sunday. The longest stretch of his career?
Against Green Bay.
Is that really a true stat?
I think it is.
That was the longest incomplete stretch he ever had in his life?
Yeah.
Holy moly.
Yeah.
Which shows you how brilliant he's been. So those trick plays, is there a flip side to it? Is the flip side that they don't fully trust the offense to do it straight up? Everyone else has put up 30 points against the Packers, but they did straight up. You had to really scheme it. Is that a good or a bad thing? Bedard wonders. And he wonders if Brady's part of that equation. So there's that Patriots take. We'll get your phones on this, our Bruins conversation, our Celtics conversation, whatever you want, right after Murray's update here, and then we're right back with you.
Felger and Mass.
I love it.
You were right, Mass.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bored my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
Well, if you're Murray, do you try to score here?
Oh, I guarantee he will.
No.
Nope. Murray offensive end, now he'll pull away. He was trying to score in that last possession, but he won't here. He will. He'll launch the three. It is no good, and that will be remembered by the Celtics.
Yeah.
Jamal Murray going for the free three in the 50-point game, and the Celtics are barking at it, and he's barking back, and now we got some issues here after the game.
Oh, Kyrie is saying right now. What?
Kyrie has some words for young Jamal Murray. There are ways to act, and there are ways not to. Kyrie launches the basketball into the crowd. I don't know if that's a souvenir, but it's going to cost Kyrie some money as he is escorted off the floor. The final score, Denver 115, Boston 107.
$25,000 balloons for Kyrie Irving last night. That's a wow.
Tell you what, I bet you for him that was worth it.
Okay, I mean, you sort of like it, Maz, don't you?
I do. I like the fact that there's some edge and some attitude there. Like, oh, this was the best game of your career, right? 48 points, nice little souvenir, and nice little element you can put in your trophy case. Go chase it when I chuck it up in the balcony. F you, like, because Kyrie, every time he sits down and does an interview, wants to show you how smart he is. And I don't doubt, he's an articulate guy, but that matters to him to be level-headed and be a veteran and be a leader. All of that has value to him. This was like, screw that. Go chase your ball, you dink. Like, and I love that part of it. I do. I love that part of it because it shows me that he's got some, he's got some edge to him. Like, that I like. But, that said, I would say overall to the Celtics, you don't want the guy to get 50 on you. Don't let him. That's your problem.
Okay, we continue with your thoughts. Celtics and everything else. Brian in Leominster on the Seas. Hi, Brian.
How's it going?
Good. What do you got?
So, Jaylen Brown's already saying finals, basically. If they say they go out first, second, even, third round, they don't make the finals. How does the team implode after this year, basically? If Kyrie walk, what happens?
No, I don't think it implodes. I think it's a lesson. I don't know. At some point, they're going to... You like to think that they get that lesson and that attitude adjustment before you get to a playoff loss?
They will.
Or Toronto. But at some point here in the regular season, they're going to have a come-to-Jesus realization that you can't just walk out onto the floor and roll the basketballs out.
So maybe last night's one of those nights. And maybe you need more than one through the course of the year, but maybe last night's that night where all of a sudden someone gets pissed off and chucks a ball into the stands and say, what are we doing here? We're going to lose on the road now every night? Is that what we're going to do? And I know that it's early. Don't get me wrong. I'm not overreacting to it. But they're not playing as well as they're capable of.
6-4. 6-4.
They just, some of the young guys, to me, because look, Kyrie has won. And Horford, we all know, Horford's a pro. Okay, so it's really...
You know what? Kyrie doesn't get a pass from me. He wasn't ready to go to start the season. Someone said somewhere he was fat.
Well, the guy was coming back from having knee surgery.
So?
What do you expect?
Knee surgery was in February. Or no, whenever that was. April. Whatever month it was. He had months to get into shape. He wasn't quite ready. Kyrie did not start playing until Tommy Heinsohn called him out. So he didn't get a pass.
Yeah, my only point is that Kyrie has won.
I mean, I have faith that Kyrie's going to be there at the end because he's such a brilliant player and has been there. But in terms of the 6-4 start, he's partly responsible for that.
Sure, but I also think that I look at Kyrie and say, okay, if he wants to put his nose in the air a little bit, he can. A little. The other guys? Jaylen Brown? Jason Tatum? Who the hell do you guys think you are? What, just because you had a couple good years in the league or 1.5 for Brown and a good year for Tatum as a rookie because you get to play because he had an injury? All of a sudden, now that means a guaranteed trip to the finals if you're Jaylen Brown? Uh-uh. Sorry. You're good. You're not that good. And do you think you can finish third in the conference in winning percentage and get to the finals? Because I question that. I'm not sure they're as good as they think they are.
Bob in the car has a Bruins thought. It's a very succinct thought. What is it, Bob?
Puka Rask. He is just a nightmare. And it's time for him and his LBS. Leaky bowel syndrome to sit on the bench.
I think
he just pukes it up. He's been puking it up for 8 years. How much longer are we going to watch this clown fight the puck? He can't. He needs to sit.
Okay, he's sitting. He's sitting. Halak's the starter right now, but that doesn't mean Halak's going to get every game. You're not going to. It'd be stupid to ride Halak into the ground.
I think Halak has been better than Tuukka.
He's been better. So he's going to get more games, but I wouldn't start Halak 6, 7, 8 straight games because he's 33 himself and you're going to ground him into the ground. You need him for when Rask craps himself at the end of the year. So you need Halak healthy and fresh too. So I'm not overriding Halak, but he's the guy right now. I think they recognize it. I think everyone recognizes it.
I mean, if this ends up basically being 40 games apiece, that's a huge win for Halak. Huge. Because in theory, it should be 55 games for Tuukka and 27 for Halak. That's what it should be. So every game that Halak gets above that tells you that, or Tuukka's lost that is a better way to put it.
It's just last night, it's like, dude.
Tuukka, that was horrible, that goal.
Rask, you've kind of sort of lost your job, or you're on the verge of like officially losing it. You know, you're right there. You just sat out the last three. The other guy's standing on his head. Halak, they lost to Nashville on Saturday, but Halak was just filthy good. He was excellent in that game. Give him a shot. So... now, here's your chance. It's your first game in three games. Here's your chance to sort of stake your claim back for your job. You're playing against a Dallas team that did not show up. Again, was Sagan showing them around last night? Because that team, boy, were they asleep on their skates. Easy opportunity for you. And you allow that first floater, that little balloon from 40 feet? You've got to be kidding me, man.
I'm telling you, when I first heard it on the ride on the way home, and I heard Beers say, you know, Beers just kind of threw his hands up and said, it's a bad goal, you can't give it up. Then when I saw the actual highlight of it when I got home, I couldn't help but look at Rask and go, he's a mental case. I mean, he's an absolute mental case if he's letting that one in.
Jim in Weymouth. Hi, Jim.
Hi. So, you know, I'm going to sound like a jerk, and I don't mean to, and I'm not saying that this isn't going to work, but... I thought Gordon Hayward was going to have a little bit of a longer time period of working himself into the Celtics even before his injury. He just has a rhythm to his playing that's slower than everybody else's. And I was like a little bit worried when I first saw him play before the injury. So I'm not panicking right now because he's coming off an injury and he's already slower. I'm expecting them to take some time, extended time, more than a normal player, to find a place to utilize his skills and for him to find places to utilize his skills.
Jim, he played at that pace before the ankle injury?
I thought he was slow.
Really?
Not like he is now. No. Not like he is now. I don't mean that.
Well, no.
But
I mean,
he did look.
Yeah, Jim, I'm not telling you. I didn't watch a ton of him in Utah. You're educating me. I'm asking, honestly. If Gordon Hayward always played that slow, well, that's not a great fit. Don't tell me he played that deliberately in Utah. I got to believe this is his ankle. Come on. This is how he plays.
I don't know. I can't speak to that. I really only
He's slow?
No, I don't know.
Is he really slow? I thought he was athletic.
No. To me, he looks noticeably slow. And the thing I'm worried about, too, as much as anything, is the defensive end. Teams are singling him out.
I thought he was an athletic wing player who had good ups and, you know, good athleticism and all that. I thought that was his, because that's not what he is, but I get it. He's going to be shattered
yes,
his ankle.
No, you're not wrong to get.
Okay. Because if this is really what he is, then you're in trouble.
I mean, look, I told you, I know people always have a hard time believing this when I say this. I called around and people in the league said, described him as athletic. Okay, athletic. So
he hasn't been yet. But
no, I haven't seen a ton of that yet.
There's an out, though, for him, obviously. Brian in Fitchburg on the Bruins. Yes, Brian.
So last night, the Red Sox send over Joe Kelly, Sam Kennedy, and the old man, Poltergeist.
Yeah.
What's the matter? The peanut vendor from the grandstand wasn't available last night? Hey, you know what? I know that you've got Charlie McAvoy, Vakanainen, and once again, Kevin Miller is out injured. But we get Steve Kampfer. I mean, are we led to believe that the 13th overall pick 3 years ago, Jake Sabourin, is just not part of their plans? Once again, a reminder that we passed on Matty Barzal for two guys who are never going to make this roster.
So the Barzal one is still a tough one. That's a tough miss. You've got three picks. Bang, 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 in the middle of that first round, and this Barzal, who's with the Islanders, and you skip him three straight times. Now, DeBrusk is here, so you got one player out of it, but Zboril and Senishin are not, and you had three cracks at Barzal, and you passed on him all three times. That's going to be a hard one. If those other two don't emerge, or one of those other two don't emerge, that's going to be a hard one to ever live down.
I mean, I'm glad you brought up Senishin, because, again, they had three in a row there. And you never hear him get talked about either.
So I'm with you on the. I'd like to see Zboril up here. I like the Lawson kid. I like both. You know, I'd like to see both those guys because that's your future. Those are high draft picks who you think are going to be cycling up through here. And the fact that they're not here yet, that they're still behind a guy like Steve Kampfer or even Matt Grizzlick or even John Moore, they gave money to, so he's going to play. But it tells you. Either those young players aren't ready for sure, or they never will be. They're not that good.
See, that's what scares me.
It should be.
Is that when you look at those young guys, and if they don't develop, then what?
That's what should scare you. I'll say again, you're third in the league in goals against, somehow. Somehow. With Brandon Carlo getting first pairing minutes, and Steve Kampfer, a regular basis out there, and pairings like, your second pairing is John Moore and Torrey Krug. Like, and I don't mean to, that sounds so disrespectful, and I guess it is. But if that's your second pairing, you would say on the face of it, you're in deep doo-doo.
I think Moore leads the team in plus-minus right now.
And so they're playing well. That group, they're getting the most out of that group. That's not the issue. Dave in Dover doesn't like the trick play take. Go ahead, David.
Well, trick plays, you guys, what's going on here? To say the Patriots are winning because of trick plays? College championships are won. The Patriots have done trick plays forever. I mean, what are you going to do with the onside kicks now? That's all they've done. That's a coaching thing. And that's what's won games for everybody. It's not a lack of offense. They have to depend on trick plays, Mike. Come on, man. This is crazy.
David.
They've done that. Welker's thrown tons of balls since I've...
Yes, when they're down 14 points in the playoffs and they're desperate. Is when they pulled that out. The Edelman pass was down 14 points to a good Baltimore team in the divisional round. So they pulled it out. They were desperate. The trick plays have come in those sort of situations. They haven't had many nights where they've pulled out trick plays against a horrible defense like Green Bay at home on Sunday night. And if you think the offense was clicking well on Sunday night, you were watching a different game than I was. They had been stuffed on the previous three possessions by the Packers, who suck. Brady threw seven straight incompletions, a career high. Were you watching the game, caller? Or are you just offended because you don't like the take? Because if you were watching the game, I don't know how you could possibly say they were moving the ball in that game. They weren't.
They weren't is right. And you know, really, go back. They had a trick play there in the early part of the game.
It was a flea flicker, yeah.
Yeah, and look, I'll tell you what. Even
all their points came off of trick plays or schemed up plays, which, again, in a vacuum is fine. Anything to win. I'm not criticizing that. But Greg's point was, does that hide the fact that they didn't have faith that they could move the ball straight up? So that's the take.
Yeah, and look, you know, I'll even allow for the one early in the game, the flea flicker. It was first possession, right? Like, you look at that and say, all right.
It was the second one.
So maybe they just wanted to get out in front, right? Like, I'll even allow for that. But the other one, they were having trouble. And I think that that's sort of against a bad defense. That's the part that you can't leave out. Since when does Tom Brady have a hard time moving the ball against a bad defense? Just never, ever. That's automatic.
Okay, there you go. You can call us again. The Patriots fans don't like that. They like their trick plays, like they like their running backs, Maz. Don't poke the bear on trick plays or running backs.
No, apparently. I mean, yeah, we've been doing that for years.
We'll pick that up tomorrow if you like, but coming up next is the final word.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
So with Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal in, that means we get the 10 questions recap. Been a minute since we've got one of these.
Yeah.
With all the baseball going on for the last month.
Been a while. I forgot. What a lip-smacking, pausing, sighing. But he just, this show has a certain pace to it, you know, has a certain tempo to it.
Yeah.
He comes
we call it a no huddle.
Oh, my God. He is 3 yards in a cloud of dust, that guy.
He uses up every second of the play clock.
Oh, my God.
Seriously, does he ever? In fact, I go so far as to say he leads the league in delay of game penalties.
The four corners offense, this guy.
Wow.
Well, here's the recap put together by Hardy.
So, I think Mookie Betts is a problem.
Biggest surprise across the league at the midpoint, meaning positive. This can be a player, a team, a situation, whatever. Biggest surprise.
That Roger Goodell has basically been invisible.
Ooh, good one.
Number 9, biggest disappointment to this point.
John Gruden, disaster.
Good one.
Oh, good one.
Who should be the next coach of the Green Bay Packers?
Nick Saban.
Oh.
It's almost like a small college town.
Oh.
He can be hokey, him and his wife.
Oh.
Yes! Yes!
Oh.
Yes! Oh!
Oh.
Oh.
Oh. Oh.
I'll have what she's having.
Number 6, biggest non-story story of the first half.
The helmet rule.
Thank you.
I knew they weren't going to call it during the regular season, but everybody else is like, ah, this isn't football. Ah, 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 what are you doing to the game? Ah.
Le'Veon Bell.
Latest in our series. Biggest tool bag of the first half.
Hugh Jackson. You loser, please.
Number 3. I like this question. If you ranked the 17 Patriots teams under Tom Brady, and this is his 17th year, so this is number 17, okay? If you ranked all 17 of those teams under Tom Brady, where would this one rank? What number out of the 17?
Got it. All right.
Go from worst to
got please. It.
Okay.
Got it.
Okay.
I didn't think.
Yeah, I like this question.
Yes.
Fill in the blank. Another fill in the blank. Malcolm Butler's poor play this year in Tennessee makes you feel.
Happy that I wrote about his issues last year.
Oh, good for you.
He could have benched him just on his play.
Huh? That's Bedard.
Oh, yeah. No. It's all about the column he wrote last December.
Exactly. Yeah. 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 We all remember it, right?
Yeah. How'd you feel about the Super Bowl win? Well, good, because I wrote about it.
As I wrote in October. Yeah.
No, I thought that in March. I think I wrote that this would be their 5th Super Bowl win if they won it.